diplomatic immunity.
Just been revoked.
Hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today, once again, is Ben Maxwell.
Hello.
And not with us, once again, are Alex Rennie and Tracy Erickson.
And your illness. You sound a lot better this week.
Yeah, I was ill last week. I had an illness. Similar to the illness which struck our intern Richard Brown down after the Wednesday England football match, which I believe took place. Kind of illness that you get sometimes that is associated with consumption of some kind of substance.
Oh,
I forget which. It's, yeah.
Football. It's probably football. Consumption of football.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what happened to him, although he protests that he is actually ill. He's actually got a virus. The England football match, did you watch that?
Did I watch the... No.
I'll tell you something. Even though I don't like football, and I dislike football probably to the same extent you dislike football, we all got let off early. Chris came in, because he's a big football fan. Chris is our boss, El Capo de Tutti Capo. And he came in and said, well, take it, everyone's going to be leaving at 3. Basically giving us all dispensation. So I thought I'm going to take advantage of it. And I couldn't bring myself to do anything other than watch the football because I'm basically an honest person. And I can't, you know, I thought, well, I could go and read, but then if I'm reading, I could just be working. So I actually sat through the football match. Ooh, boring, really boring. Football is incredibly tedious. That's all I have to say on it. It's all just frustration. There was one goal in that England game. And then the rest of it, you're just watching people kicking a ball around, thinking, well, somebody score a goal. That's it. I've just wasted 93 minutes of my life and there was one moment of release. I don't know why football's popular. Maybe someone can write in and tell us. I'm disappointed. Nobody wrote in after last week's podcast to answer the question I posed. Do you remember what question?
I don't remember the question.
Oh, no, it was a diplomatic...
The film. Yeah, I didn't... I clearly didn't care too much because I didn't look into it.
You could have just googled diplomatic immunity.
I could have, yeah.
Diplomatic immunity. I'm going to play it. I'm going to splice in a YouTube clip. Anyway, we're already getting off topic. The topic, of course, is iPhone gaming. So,
news!
What has there been this week? Of course, there has been the iPhone 4 release, which happened yesterday. Although for some people it happened the day before. Some people who pre-ordered received their iPhone 4s on Wednesday. Most people got it on Thursday. Some people had to go into shops for it. We still don't have one. But generally, the feedback has been positive for the iPhone 4. Except there is a problem. With it.
Dodgy antennas and displays.
Yeah. The display problem, people are saying that goes away after a while. Although, it's not ideal, is it? If you have a problem
with something, the display goes away, because that in itself would be a problem.
Soon you won't be able to say, soon, buddy, you won't be able to see anything at all. That's what Steve Jobs has been saying to people. No, there's the yellow discoloration on the screen, which people are saying fades in time. What doesn't fade in time, unfortunately, is the problem with if you're left-handed or you're holding the device in your left hand and making a call, your hand covers up the antenna, meaning that you quickly lose reception.
I see.
Yes.
I'm not afflicted with that, so it won't be a problem for me.
But sometimes you want to swap over. I had a phone conversation with my friend Wayne yesterday. It lasted probably 90 minutes, and there were numerous swap-overs.
Yeah, I don't like that because then it comes away from your head and it's greasy and it's like you've been secreting some kind of filthy ectoplasm.
Wax.
Especially on the iPhone. Well, no, not wax. I don't leak wax out of my ears.
Yes,
it's just sweat. It's perspiration. Yeah, well, that goes... I've got a filter for that. But yeah, disgusting. That's the worst thing about iPhones or anything with a glass front.
Fine, I've never done that, but that's a good point. I've never actually made a phone call on an iPhone. On my Nokia 5800, it and any other phone I've ever had, I quite like swapping over. I like the feeling because you have the phone kind of pressed up against your ear and it gets all kind of sweaty and clammy. Take it off and it's all fresh again.
It's like turning your pillow over for the cold side on
that's
a summer's
exactly
night.
That's exactly what it's like. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. And you can't do that apparently with the iPhone 4. Apple has responded to these criticisms. Don't hold your iPhone that way, says Apple. Hey, buddy. I think Steve Jobs actually responded and said it's a non-issue in his words. He's quite dismissive sometimes when he's impatient over an issue. Just don't put it in that hand, buddy. Or put it in a case, is what Jobs has been saying.
Or could you do that thing where you put it using your right hand across to the left side? You know, when you do that when you're getting on with something and maybe...
You can only do that if you're holding shopping and trying to open your car door.
Yeah, exactly.
Under normal circumstances.
You need to have the props in order to look natural, but that's one way around. It's a workaround.
People will do it, though. People, if necessary, people will balance upside down on a skateboard in order to use an iPhone. I think that's the thing. Apple's probably right. Just hold it in a different hand. Oh, all right then. Okay then, Mr. Jobs.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Jobs. Thanks, Mr. Jobs. That's good advice.
Sorry for troubling you. Sorry.
Woo! 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 Right hand. That's what he'll get. Anyway, that's the iPhone 4. But in other regards, it's a very nice device. It's been getting some positive reviews, as you would expect for a new Apple product.
I won't get to experience one. I'm going to just go right over with my 3GS contract. So I'll look forward to the iPhone 5.
It's going to be great. You won't be able to hold it. If you hold it, you won't be able to make calls. You'll have to levitate it or just dangle it from a piece of string, you'll have a head brace thing, and you'll look
like a
anglerfish with the iPhone kind of hovering in front of your face.
That'd be amazing, especially at night if you make it glow, and you get sharpen your teeth. You could do a really good impression.
Particularly, I've got friends for whom the illusion will be particularly convincing. that's that. iPhone 4, it's out. Let's talk a little bit about tariffs. Because, you know, if you're thinking about getting one, you want to know who offers the cheapest tariffs. So far, everybody except T-Mobile has announced its tariffs. Three announced theirs yesterday, and they're by far the cheapest, although they don't offer you 18 months. Everything's 24 months. But as a point of comparison, on 3 Mobile, you could get a 16 gigabyte iPhone 4, 500 minutes, and a gigabyte of data. And also, in addition to that, 5,000 3-to-3 minutes. So really, it's 5,500 minutes. But 5,000 of those depend on you speaking to other people on 3. Mm. Which is a pretty good ploy by 3. 3 also give you money if you recommend someone. I've taken advantage of that in the past when I used to be on 3, which I had to give up because I couldn't get reception.
That's the problem, isn't it? They've got the worst network. Although I think it's improving, but I haven't had any experience with using 3, but I know that everyone I've ever spoken to has had trouble wherever they are getting any kind of thing to happen. But I guess that won't matter if you're holding it in your left hand, because you won't be able to make calls anyway.
Yeah, no, it depends where you are, but I never had a problem. I got my 3 phone when I lived in St Andrews in Scotland, no problem. Moved to Lancaster, no problem. Moved to Liverpool, no problem. It wasn't until I moved to Bristol. And then I moved to Bristol, hopeless. It's just I could make calls outside, but I couldn't make calls inside my flat. And obviously I don't like to leave my flat and, you know, enter into the cold blasting winds of outside to make
calls.
You
are in a basement flat though. That's several layers of concrete above you to block the
Yeah,
sun.
No, I know. But I mean, down south I found that I was having problems with it quite often. I'm on Vodafone now and there are never any problems. So that is something to think about, but it does depend on where you live. But it is by far the cheapest. So 3 Mobile, that's £30 a month. And for a Vodafone tariff that is £30 a month for a 16 gigabyte handset. You get 300 minutes instead of 500. You don't get the additional 5,000, you know, Vodafone to Vodafone minutes as it would be in this case. And by the way, those 5,000 minutes are they apply across all of the three tariffs. So you get 300 minutes and no network to network minutes. A gigabyte of data, that's the same. It's £30 a month for 24 months, which is the same, and it costs £169 for the handset as opposed to £99 on 3. So 3 is considerably cheaper than, and that's just Vodafone just taking a typical tariff, but as we've discussed, you might not get the same kind of coverage. So that's that. If you're, and to buy the handset outright, of course, from Apple, it's £499 or £599 for the 16 gigabyte and 32 gigabyte. If you get them on a pay-as-you-go deal from an operator, typically they're £30 less and £20 less. So, you know, £480 and £570.
That makes all the difference.
Shave a little bit off there and get a pay-as-you-go one from, for example, 3. Let's see what 3's pay as you go. 15 and 25 for 1 month rolling or 12 month contract respectively. You get 300 and 2,000 any network minutes for the two contracts. 300 on the £15 pounds a month and 2,000 on the other one. A gigabyte of data and 3,500 text, and you also get your 5,000 3-to-3 minutes. So I obviously 3. It said actually earlier in the week, the reason we haven't announced our tariffs so far is because we want to undercut everybody, and they have done that comfortably. But anyway, go to the way to check it out is just to go to pocketgamer.co.uk, and there's a story called iPhone 4 Prices, the Tariffs Compared, which is pretty near the top. Should be easy to find and check it out.
Written by Rob Hearn, so I see.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. He's really good. He's the best.
Good with tables.
Yeah, and numbers. And I'm going to segue into this other numbers story then, since you brought it up. There's no tables in the story, but there are numbers. This is one of those.
The iPad.
Yeah, this is one of those stories that I, every so often you write a story and you kind of feel disappointed that nobody's commented on it and said what a nice story. And in this case, this was one of those for me. But the story is Apple has sold 3 million iPads since its launch 80 days ago. So that means, and I'll just give you the numbers in different forms. Apple has sold 2,343.75 an hour, or one every second and a half since it came out 80 days ago. And that's it. And my story, I put it as, because it was 80 days, I couched it in Phileas Fogg around the world in 80 days terms. No, you didn't see that?
I didn't read it. I'm sorry. Although I have just commented on it. I've put, what a nice story.
Sorry, but you haven't read it, so it doesn't count.
No, I haven't read it, but I will read it.
Read it now. No, read it now. I'll wait for you to read it.
Okay. Well, don't make the listeners wait.
No.
We should talk. What a nice story.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. At last,
yeah. It's very nice. I like it.
See how tie in the Phileas Fogg, and then
absolutely.
Go to the site, everybody, and read. Apple sells 37,500 iPads every day.
And comment on it.
And say it's
nice. In fact, I want everyone to write "What a nice story" underneath.
Yeah, just an endless.
If we get thousands of "What a nice stories," then you know, that'd be brilliant.
It's going to sound like a bit probably like a slow hand clap, though. A bit sarcastic if everyone just says the same thing.
I did put three dots after mine, but I didn't mean it sarcastically. I just meant kind of,
What does that punch?
Okay, you can explain this to me then. What does that three dots, well, known as an ellipsis, mean in grammar? Because I've never deployed it. I don't know how to deploy it. I don't know when I would, and when other people deploy it in written conversation with me, I don't know what it means. What's the difference?
Yeah, because I notice you always edit it out of my stories.
Of course.
Always.
Because I don't know what it means. It's not a recognized form of punctuation. What does it? What does it do? Tell me.
I don't know if it has any valid grammatical, you know, validation.
Oh, that's fine.
It means to me that I'm kind of leaving it open, or kind of this is the bit where you think. Pause for thought, audience. Pause for thought. That's the, or it could be I've said something funny and I am putting dot 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 to say that's funny, isn't it? It's kind of like it's signifying sarcasm. Without having to put the winky smiley face in, which makes you a bastard. So those are the two functions it performs in my life.
It's funny to think that for so many centuries, people were able to get by and communicate without all these extra little smiley faces and dot, dot, dots. And
were they, though?
Yeah, it was fine. It was
good.
They
didn't have the smileys, but they had all sorts of other augmentations.
Didn't have the dot, dot,
language
dot.
Language itself is a constant. I mean, I agree with you. The smiley thing is terrible, but I'm afflicted by it and trapped by it because I'm terrified that anyone will ever think I'm being nasty to them when I meant to be nice. But, yeah.
I'm a hardliner. I never do it. I'm a hardliner.
I know. And sometimes an absolute bastard.
Sometimes I'll sit and I'll look at an email and I'll be very careful about the composition of it because I don't want to appear autistic. Sometimes I think I just do appear autistic, and I don't care, because I think you can't let these people win. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Fighting, it's like being in the Body Snatchers. Everyone around you is screaming, lulls, and you've just got to act natural and keep your head down.
Yeah, naturally. So, what else has been? Natural is American. In America, you say, like it's like Apple, think different. Whereas if that had been a UK slogan, it would have been think differently. Because
has it been a podcast yet where you haven't corrected something I've said in the process of just conversational chat?
It you goes
just,
beyond.
You can't stop your editorial muscles, can you?
There hasn't been a conversation involving me in which I haven't said,
no.
Here's something interesting, and then proceeded to say something which people don't find interesting.
This is why people only have one or two conversations with you and then move on.
Yeah, I'm not a man of many friends. Well, I'll tell you who does have lots of friends, though. People who play Farmville on Facebook and think it's great. They all seem to have loads of friends, and they all gather up in little groups and talk about how great Farmville is. And on Facebook, they say, I need something for... And now I've segued into Mafia Wars, because I don't play Farmville, but a friend of mine got me to start up a Mafia Wars account or whatever it's called, I don't know, simply so that I could send him, and I'm doing the speech marks thing, energy every so often on Facebook, which I've neglected to do, I'm sorry Scott, for the last little while. But Farmville, I imagine it's the same. People say, oh, I need, why don't you come and look at my farm, why don't you water my plants, and that's a friendly thing to do. That's what people who live in internet communities do. And guess what? It's now out on iPhone. It was announced at WWDC. It was one of the two games announced alongside, was it Guitar Hero or Rock Band, on stage when Steve Jobs announced the iPhone 4. And it came out in New Zealand, like all games do, and then, like the sunset, gradually worked its way around the globe and came out yesterday. Tell us what it's like.
Yeah, because you've made me play it. It's like being in a coma where you're aware of life around you, but you can't move anything or speak or communicate with anyone else. It's a nightmare. It's
locked-in
a locked-in syndrome.
Syndrome nightmare,
exactly. Diving bell and the butterfly. It's awful. But, you know, this is only day one of my adventures in Farmville, so perhaps I'll be converted by the end of next week, because I'm doing a daily record on my experiences for the next week, because we decided, given its huge scale and it's in real time, maybe a review wouldn't work so well. So it's you know, you load up, you tap on things to harvest your strawberries or eggplants or whatever you've planted. They take a day, 2 days, 5 days, or just a few hours to grow. And it helpfully messages you to let you know what's going on. So last night, I don't have a Bluetooth headset for my PS3, so last night I was playing Red Dead Redemption with my friend, and we've come up with the excellent ad hoc workaround of dialing into each other on Skype via our phones, putting it on speaker, and then we've got, you know, communication. But the problem with the Skype app on iPhone is that it cuts off when a message comes through. So it kept cutting off as Farmville let me know, helpfully, over and over again, that my strawberries were ready. So already, I hate it.
There's the collision between two very different kinds of games, though. You can, so you're immersed in this kind of what turn of the 20th century Wild West environment, this incredibly atmospheric, iconic world put together by Rockstar, fighting gangs, seeing sunsets, and then Farmville interrupts
bing,
bing. That. Bing, bing. Hello.
Strawberries are ready.
Water your plants. Oh, right, okay.
And then, to put salt in the wound,
yes.
I woke up this morning to find an alert that my strawberries were ready, so I went to the farm, and they've all rotted overnight. So now I've got to think about what time I plant them, in case I'm going to be doing something as selfish as sleeping or enjoying my life at any point. It seems a bit controlling. Possibly worse than World of Warcraft. I'm terrified by it. I mean, I'm just on the precipice at the moment, just leaning over, cautiously looking down into this dark pit, and I know that I'm going to have to go deeper into it to write about it properly.
But will you come out? That's the question.
Who knows?
This is what happens: is people maybe everybody who's ever played Farmville has set out on their journey with an air of contempt and has been converted by the experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, already I'm quite... There's a part of me that likes the economic part of the game, in that I can work out what's going to be the best profit yield, based on my planting area. Although you can put things in place like houses or hay bales or chickens. I've got a chicken now. But that seems to me a perverse waste of space, because there doesn't seem to be any... penalty for just putting loads of plots together. So I've just turned my farm at the moment into this big array of plots, and that's it. There's nothing else there. It's entirely cynically commercial. It's like a sweatshop for vegetables.
Yeah, but people come and see your farm, and you will be judged, presumably. I mean, isn't that the idea? Because that's one of the things that happens, is people go to each other's farms, isn't it?
Well, I've invited people to be my friend. I've invited Charles Cecil to be my neighbour on Facebook, and Gary Penn and Mark Brown, our reviews editor. But
news editor.
So far, news editor, sorry, yeah. But no one has accepted.
No. Oh, well.
I think that's probably because my farm...
It's because they looked at your
like
farm.
Sewage says, factory.
That doesn't look like... Those chickens are not being reared, in the right conditions.
I don't understand what the chicken's for. I've put it there, it cost me money, and now it's just stays in one place and it pecks the ground.
Eggs, Ben. You probably need to have some other kind of infrastructure maybe it needs like a chicken coop, and it'll go in there and lay eggs. Cock, yeah.
It will need a cock. What aspect of life isn't improved by a cock? Should we move on to the next story?
Yeah, okay.
I can see a man on the toilet from my office window.
Is this your day being improved by cock?
Well, I can't see that. I can just see him sat reading through frosted glass. It's the first time I've noticed this.
No wonder that.
I always thought that was just in the movies. Yeah, quite.
You thought it was just buried on built on an Indian burial ground, but no.
That would be better than this.
It's a poo-poo observation deck. I said, when he's reading, is he because Zhao, our spiritual leader, said, someone mentioned to him, I don't know if it was me or someone else, mentioned about reading on the toilet. And he said, do people really do that? So no. I don't think he does it. I can't go to the toilet without reading material.
Me neither. Well, in fact, I usually just take my iPhone and play Drop 7.
No, I can't play games, I should be reading. And
quite
if,
happy to
and
play
if
games,
I though. End up in a toilet without reading material, I will take out my wallet and read my cards, and I'll read coins. I'll read the toothpaste, the packet, tube. I'll just read whatever. There needs to be
how bizarre
ocular activity
in order for the motion to pass.
For the whole machine to work.
Yeah.
Cops, eh?
Yes, they've probably seen what he's doing. Oh no, they've gone straight past. Oh, no, now he's stood up. No, I can see everything.
Can you?
Quick, move. Yes.
No, well, describe. Come on, breaking news. Describe the scene.
He's stood up with a top, but no trousers, and he's now wiping his bottom.
Oh my God.
This is not something I've ever seen actually happen outside the bathroom that I'm in.
And frosted, so can he, is the window open?
It's frosted, but no, but you can see everything. It's not that frosted. And he's still wiping. I'll update you when he finishes.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I'm actually quite jealous of you.
Well, you should probably clarify why, in case people get the wrong idea.
Because I'm a nosy person and I like seeing stuff like that. You know the film Rear Window? That's
yes.
my dream. You know when you're staying in a hotel and you can see into the building opposite and you can see people working, or maybe you can see into another hotel and you can see into people's rooms?
Yeah, but you never actually see anything illicit like you do in films or on a sitcom. You never see someone undressing, actually catch a glimpse of a naked person.
No, you don't.
No.
But you want
to. Till now.
Well, when I was working at my university, I was speaking to a couple of guys, a guy called Neil McLaughlin. He was a bit of a sexual deviant, this little Scottish guy, incredibly temperamental whilst playing squash and pool. And another guy called Paul Buchan, a big kind of burly Scotsman. They were standing at work in the kitchens. This is before I started working there, but they told me about it subsequently. And they were standing in the kitchens waiting for the shifts to end, and they could see from where they were through the window up into another window of the halls of residence, and they could see a girl standing there talking to a friend, and she had a top off.
Right.
Yeah. And what I thought was funny about this was Paul Buchan said that he just couldn't help himself. He just went, "Way!" And the girl heard him, like through the glass over the 10 yards or so, and He sat down, covered herself up, laughed it off. She wasn't massively mortified or anything. She obviously wasn't shy because she was standing talking to her friend with her top off. And then as soon as Paul said, "Oh," so I went, "Whoa!" And then she ducked behind the window. And then Neil McLaughlin said, "Yeah, I was fucking furious." which sums him up quite well.
Is that Neil's first relationship?
Probably. Hi Neil, if you're listening, which you're not. we could go into the room right now. How's Toilet Man doing?
He's still there. He's moved slightly away from the window though, so there's no detail now. Which in many ways is a good thing.
I think so. For you, if not for him.
Yeah.
So that's all the news covered really. In terms of games and game announcements. Oh well, Prince of Persia, the proper version came out. So the Duff version came out first. Disappeared again, and then a proper version has come out. It's been reviewed. We gave it a 6 out of 10. So it's still... No, we didn't. We gave it a 7 out of 10, sorry.
Oh, good.
Yes, that's better. That's bronze.
Yeah.
It is ambitious. The problem is there are technical issues and control issues. As you might expect, really, with a conversion of this nature. Just to catch you up, in case you don't know, it's Prince of Persia Warrior Within, and it is the full PlayStation 2 third-person action-adventure extravaganza for your iPhone, iPod Touch. But because it's such a big game, then there are some slowdown issues. Maybe not so much with the 3GS or an iPhone 4, but certainly on a 3G or... device or an iPod Touch second generation, which I think is what it was played on, and the controls aren't perfect. But it's still all right. 7 out of 10. If you want a full PlayStation 2 game on your iPod Touch, then this is how to accomplish
that. Quite an impressive new line we've just crossed there with this release.
Yeah.
Who knows what else is going to come?
More of the
Probably
same.
More. Yeah.
Why didn't they go Sands of Time first? Because that was the first in the trilogy, and it was the only good one in the trilogy.
Because the publishers are the only people who don't get that that's the only good Prince of Persia game in the whole series that they've done since the reboot.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't get that. I don't know. It probably sold better, didn't it, when it was made rubbish, because then it appealed to the general public. I'm not going to be too damning.
You don't like the general public, do you?
No.
No. No, me either. A lot of football games have been coming out, of course, because it's the World Cup in South Africa, South Africa, diplomatic immunity, and that's so, you know, you can just go to the site and sort of follow the site to see them dripping in. We're not covering all of them, but we're covering some of them, and mostly they're pretty mediocre, but you know, some of them are all right. Pro Evolution Soccer, very good. Why not just mention before we move on, NG Moco has released a 99-cent Eliminate Gun Range game. So it's not freemium, it's Eliminate Gun Range. So check that out. Okay, so no rumours again. Because what the problem is, the rumour miner has gone missing. Mm. So we don't have any rumours. Once again, we could make some up.
Sorry.
But there's no point, is there?
No.
Let's not do that.
I mean, the guy's gone now. It's not really a rumor; that's truth. He's stopped wiping his bottom.
Oh, shitgate! Shitgate is over.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, you know, that kind of filled in for rumor mine, I suppose.
Yeah. It didn't. It was better than most rumor miners, but not all.
Mm.
So that's it. We didn't even go into the room. We just looked into it. We just peered into it, saw that it was empty, and moved on. So now we can talk about what we've been playing.
What we've been playing!
Do you want to go first?
Okay, yeah. Well, I can tell you what I haven't been playing. I haven't been playing Drop 7, thanks to the iOS 4 update.
Ouah, 4.
Ouah, 4, yeah. Which has comprehensively destroyed many games, which I'm really annoyed at, because I know for a fact from frantic forum searching that I have a bit of a Drop 7 problem, which I'm not prepared to get help for. So I looked around to see what's going on. The developer has submitted an update, and they're waiting for Apple to approve it. So Apple apparently taking their time there fixing the games they've broken.
Yeah, there are lots of these games.
Lots, yeah.
So lots of updates are streaming in. I imagine the people...
They are.
The approval slaves at Apple are working extra long hours to get...
Which is all very well, but you'd think, given that this has all been on the cards for a long time, they might have started earlier.
Yeah.
And actually had the updates ready in advance of the OS update.
Epic fail.
Yeah, idiots.
Okay, so that's what you've not been playing.
That's what I've not been playing, and it's the only thing I really want to play. And then what I have been playing is Farmville, which I've already talked about, really. And obviously a little bit of Red Dead Redemption, augmented by strawberries.
Yes. And that's it.
That's it this week, yeah. I've been very busy. I've got lots of writing tasks to do.
Yeah, so you're writing 5... Farmville related pieces. You're going to give us your impressions day by day, and you're a newcomer to Farmville, aren't you? That's the idea. So you're somebody, and I suppose the target audience for this game is probably people who already like Farmville and just want to be able to play it on a portable medium just to continue the fun. That's not you though. You're a skeptic, but you're giving it a go, and you're gonna. And so the purpose of the article is really is to explain what it's like for somebody who thinks he hates Farmville and thinks he's above it, to eventually realise over 5 days that he's not above it.
It's going to be a journey. It's a journey piece.
I've been playing this week Princess Fury by Mostar. It is a slasher with RPG elements. So effectively what you do is you play a little, it seems to be, it's very a la mode. You play a kind of cute little girl, Japanese looking, with a massive sword bigger than her, and you hack away at people. You have, and as you do so, you gain experience and various power-ups and people you can add to your retinue. So for example, when you start, it's just you chop some people up, you get some experience. Then, in the next tutorial level, you're playing, but you've also got a couple of guys with you, and you can't really do much. All you can do is you can tell them to fall in or disperse, go and attack people. Those are the only two instructions, and the difference between them doesn't seem to be all that significant to me. Then you get power up. So the first power up you get is this lightning that comes down and electrocutes everybody, and then you get this kind of charge thing again, which you gain access to by building up your experience by killing people. And it's quite interesting. Like, at first, when you first play it, you think, oh, this is a bit tedious. All you're doing is running along, chopping people up. But actually, the nature of the levels varies. So some levels will be about just taking down one big monolithic Cyclops-type super monster. And then other missions will be about, it's almost a bit like Capture the Flag. You have to make your way across the level, hitting crystals until they turn to your color. And you have to, you know, gain control of all of them to win the level. And that's it, really. It looks very nice. It's a kind of cartoony, Japanese-y aesthetic. What it does that I quite like is the meshing of the RPG and the slasher. Because I think, although I've said before that I'm not really a fan of RPG games because I find them too kind of ponderous and involved, what I do like is the feeling they give you of becoming increasingly powerful, which I think God of War on the PlayStation 3 and PSP actually does quite well. It gives you the sense that you're becoming more and more, you become palpably more powerful. So by the end, you feel like you're just sweeping people aside and it feels good. And I think it actually lends itself quite well to slasher games. So in the same way that God of War works well on PS3 and PSP, Princess Fury, on a much smaller, more cutesy scale, works in the same way and seems to work quite well. Good variety of missions, good, it's nice and satisfying when you chop at people, and the way you level up is quite good. The only problem is it's very tough, it's very difficult. So you might find yourself frustrated as I did, as I prodded away at the screen.
Can you grind? Can you replay levels in order to become stronger? Right, okay. That sounds quite good.
Yeah, you can grind. You can go back and get experience. So that's something I've done a couple of times, actually. Princess Fury, I recommend it. I think it was £1.19.
And it's not too bad.
Yeah, I think if that description sounded at all appealing to you, then you should go and get it.
It sounds like a more involving take on Twin Blades. That's something I've played, but I find that just utterly vapid and repetitive, and I've got bored of it.
Your observation was apposite. That's exactly what it is. It looks like Princess Blade. Probably doesn't look quite as stylish, but it looks and plays very much like Twin Blade, but it just has this extra mechanic overlaid onto it. It has a variety in the different types of levels, and it has the RPG mechanic kind of underpinning everything, which really elevates it above Twin Blade's Princess Fury. Thumbs up from the H dog. That's me.
No one's going to buy it now.
No H dog. That sounds like something that would be cut up in customs. drug joke. Okay, so that's it. That's the end of the podcast, really. It's another short one, but you've got to get off, haven't you? You've got to.
I do.
Because you've got an exciting interview.
I do, yes. I'm off to meet Tony Mott and Alex Wiltshire, who are the editors of Edge magazine and Edge Online. So I'm going to be doing some stuff on the website for a bit.
Okay.
So obviously, the only reason it's happening is because, you know, they've seen my name tied in with Pocket Gamer, and now I'm hot property.
Yeah. Pocket Gamer, the Pocket Gamer internship, 100% success rate. Gets people into the jobs that they want. It's me. It's the golden touch. People say, hey, hang on.
It's the H-Dog touch.
He's the godfather. The godfather's vouched for him. Well, you know, he can't be bad. That's basically the situation. So if you're looking for some experience in the industry, why not apply for a Pocket Gamer internship? And you can follow in the footsteps of Ben Edge Maxwell. I've got nothing else to say on the matter. We've gone through the news. We've gone through the rumours, of which there were sadly none. And those are the games we've been playing. Farmville.
And managed to not talk at all about the OS update.
Why for?
That's fine.
Why for? Yeah. You ran... Well, let's just cover it off quickly then. You ran a feature, or you wrote a feature.
Yeah.
A two-parter, actually. You overwrote, so we cut it into two bits.
Sorry.
Just about it and your impressions of it. I actually put it on my iPod Touch as well. I have to say I've not been making use of it, really.
I have on my 3G. I'm really impressed. Okay, on my 3GS, sorry.
So just quickly, give us your top five WAH 4 features.
There aren't top five, really, for me. But the good ones, I really like the fast switching. That's fantastic, especially as the sea of the torrent of updates coming out that means there are games that do run and software that stays running as you switch between them. The orientation lock, although small, is really useful because if you're lying in bed and maybe you're on your side, it can be annoying when you're trying to write a text or, you know, look at an email and the screen keeps switching and you have to keep holding it. So now you can stop that happening. The folders solved one problem and created another. I've put in a feature that it's really difficult for me to categorize my games. I can't figure out what genres they all are. And, you know, that's my problem. I like everything. I alphabetize my CDs, and you know they're all in chronological alphabetical order, and so I'm struggling with that despite enjoying being able to tidy things up. And it looks a hell of a lot better. It all seems to be a little more responsive, a bit prettier. And what else? Oh, and the email. The email's the best thing. The integrated mailboxes. You can now you can just go straight to a big homogeneous blob of all of your emails in one space, and if you reply, it automatically sends it back from the right mailbox. So yeah, so I think that was about five things, wasn't it?
That was about five, top five. Okay, sounds nice.
No particular order.
So I haven't. I of course have got a iPod second generation, so I can't have the multitasking. So
no, my girlfriend, well, fiance has a 3G, and we updated her phone and. It's barely perceptible. Haven't been able to find a difference, really. There's a lot less in there than I thought. And my dad also has a 3G. He updated using Windows 7, and it bricked his phone. Apple were characteristically useless in their responses, and he ended up having to sort it out using a different computer. So Windows 7, if you have it, think twice before updating to iOS 4.
He's right. I had exactly the same problem earlier in the year. I bricked my iPod Touch. I had to take it down to the Apple Store, and they reset it for me. So yeah, Windows 7 users are warned. Well, there we are. It's a brave new world. We've got WAH 4, we've got the iPhone 4, and you can see men having a poo.
Can't wait for the next time.
Yeah, any day now. So that's it. It's the end of the podcast. Go to Pocket Gamer and you can read all about the iPhone 4. There's lots up on there. And you can also read the Pocket Gamer Developers World Championship. You can see how your country's doing. It's goodbye from me.
And yeah, goodbye from me too. See you next week.